I did something yesterday that I don't think I've ever done. I spoke at the men's breakfast at Shannon Hills Chapel. I've done that before, but I had to cut out about half of what I had prepared to say when I saw what time it was when I was up there. The time just flew by. But you don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to cut out anything I have for you today. But that's the first time I think I've done that. I told Loretta, I said, well, I guess I can use this for a message sometime because I still got material that I didn't cover. Would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3. We're going to continue talking about living words of our Christian faith. The ones that we've already looked at, the first one was salvation. That was the word of power. And the two verses that I've given for that were Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then we had the word substitution. That's the word of grace. And then we had propitiation. That's the word of satisfaction. And then we looked at reconciliation, the word of peace. And the last one we looked at was redemption, the word of freedom. Now, the one we're going to look at today, I had a little object lesson, and my little object lesson has been around for 35 years, and it came apart on me bringing it here. But looking at this, what do you think the word that we're going to talk about today is? Anybody? I'm hearing people whispering. Justification. Justification. The scales of justice. You see in that word justification, you see just. You see justified. You see justice. Being just is being righteous. Justice is that the penalty is being paid. And our sins weighed us down. But Jesus Christ came to this world for one purpose, to bear the burden of our sins and to tip the scales in our favor. Justification is the word of assurance. Being assured. It's not as some people teach about salvation that you can lose it. If it was up to you and you were the one that created it, you could lose it. But it's not up to you. It's up to our Almighty God. Look at Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You saw some of our other words there, the Christian faith. We're going to go into 2008. Discussing some of the words of the Christian faith because I have a whole long list of them yet to cover. But in Isaiah 53, in verse 11, and I'm sorry that I don't give out a little sheet with all the verses on it, but I'm not good on the computer. And my wife is so busy catering, she doesn't have time to type out my notes for me. So if you want these verses, you better write them down on a piece of paper, because I'm going to be covering right many. Isaiah 53:11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Think about that word, satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God being satisfied with Christ's death on the cross for us. Now, I've given this definition before for justification, and it's a poor definition of justification. Just as if I didn't do it. That's what some people say justification is. Now, in my mind, to say that just as if I didn't do it, that's like my sins were all brushed under the carpet and God just decided to forget about it. But that's not the way our God works. Here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That has never changed. God's punishment for sin is death. And in order for justice to win out, someone had to die for your sins and mine. And there was only one who has ever existed that was capable of dying for our sins. There have been people who have died trying to rescue somebody or maybe rescuing somebody from a fire. There was a man at Virginia Tech, a teacher in his 70s, who had escaped the Holocaust, and he laid in the front of a door to save the students who were in his class, and he died. But do you know that man's death could not justify those students? They could not experience justification because this man died for them. He was not an adequate sacrifice for their sins. God, sending his son, he bore the penalty for our sin. He suffered and died. And as I said this morning at the worship service, when we just think about the cross, when we think about what Jesus Christ went through, when we think of the crown of thorns being placed on his head, when we think of the cat of nine tails that had little pieces of metal, little pieces of bone in it, were digging into his back with those 39 lashes that the Romans brought down upon him. And then having to bear that cross up to Calvary. Then being nailed to that cross, and then they take it and drop it into the hole. And the agony that he went through. And he had every one of us in mind. He was thinking of us. He had every one of our names in mind, even though we didn't exist at the time, when he died upon that cross, when he took our punishment. The key word in Isaiah 53:11 is justify. In Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, we see it's a legal or judicial term. If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. You who are sitting here today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been justified. God's justice has been served in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's fall brought three things. It brought guilt, it brought condemnation, and it brought separation. Job, writing many years before Jesus Christ ever came into the world, in Job chapter 25 and verse 4, this question is asked. How then can a man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of woman? How can a man be justified before God? You see a lot of people today, you see the Jehovah's Witnesses and you see the Mormons out here knocking on doors. They're trying to earn their justification. And they do not have. They are not justified. They are not experiencing assurance in their lives. And they've got to keep on working to earn that justification. In Psalm 143, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." There's no human solution for justification. That's why men reject the Savior. That's why men do not want to believe there is a God. And there are some people who have all kinds of degrees behind their name who do not believe there is a God. A lot of the problems that we're having in America today, in our schools, colleges, high schools, it's because they've taken God out of the equation. They have rejected the truths of God's Word. They have belittled human life. And so students go out of these schools and they have no value of human life. It's nothing for them to go out here, so many, and take somebody else's life because they have no value of human life. They've been bombarded with this in the educational system today. Stephen Holzhauser in Uplook, January, February 2006, and as you know, I've mentioned this before, there were several of these words of the Christian faith that were used there. He talks about justification is the declarative act of God by which the believer is declared to be righteous. The declarative act of God by which the believer is declared to be righteous. Now, I want us to look at a few things as to how we're justified. The first one I want to look at is the one that a lot of people think they can be justified at, but we're not justified by works. Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Romans 3:20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So it's not by religious works, the works of the law, that we're justified. Over in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, it refers to the Pharisee and the publican going up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was patting himself on the back, saying what a good person he was. He was not like other men, and he was keeping the law. The publican said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 14, "I tell you, this man," the publican, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It's not of religious works that a person is justified. And it's not by moral works, works of the human nature. Many who are not religious imagine they will be acquitted before God because they've lived a pretty good life. You've heard this. I don't cuss, I don't drink, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. But they never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, when you think about it, every one of us are specialists at justification. It's just not the right justification. We're always justifying ourselves in what we do. We're always, if we don't do it with our mouths, we're doing it in our minds. Well, so-and-so does this, so it's all right for me to do it. Or, you know, that person wears those kind of clothes, so I ought to be able to do that. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, they comparing themselves by themselves are not wise. Now, you want to hear my paraphrase? They comparing themselves by themselves are fools. That's what it's really saying. We make it a little easier when we say not wise. When we compare ourselves with other people, God wants us to be individuals. God wants us to stand on our own two feet. He wants us to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But our problem today is we find so many ways to justify sins that we commit that we never confess them, that we never repent of them. And we continue on in those things because we're measuring ourselves by other people instead of measuring ourselves by God's standard, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the righteousness of Christ. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which ye have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. We're not righteous in ourselves. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder. That comes from within and defiles the man. We're not righteous in ourselves. We are dependent on Christ's righteousness. And we have to be clothed in his righteousness in order to be justified before God. In Isaiah 64:6, it says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. All our righteousnesses, all the righteous acts that we can do, can be cast out at the dump. There is filthy rags. There is those things that we reject as useless. We are not justified by works. Now, let's look at what we are justified by. First of all, we are justified by God's grace. Now, that word grace, one definition we use, the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. The word grace means gift. It's the gift of God. It's the grace of God. You know, the songs that were sung today, I didn't say what word I was using. I didn't tell Ed that, but they were very appropriate to what we're looking at here today. Did you notice how these children were singing, Calvary Covers It All? They learned that from Uncle Dave. And you could hear them, they were singing out above us adults. Calvary covers it all. God's grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. First of all, in being justified by grace, it's God's initiative. We were enemies Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ came into this world. He had one purpose for coming. He had to live in order that he might die in our place. He came to death row and opened the cell and let us out, and he went in. It's God's initiative. We are enemies. And it's God's intervention. Luke 10:33. "But as a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." There were religious leaders that walked by this man who had been robbed, who was laying there on the roadside. They all passed by. Here was a Jew that had been wounded, and a Samaritan who was hated by the Jews, came and helped him. He had compassion on him. God hated our sin. God looks down on the hearts of men. The moment you're born, he sees the blackness of that heart. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are wretched sinners. And God looked on our hearts and he despised our sin. And the reason Jesus Christ had to go through the torture that he had to go through is an illustration of what God thought of our sin. Paul said over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And we're reading Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, if we could justify ourselves, if our justification was legitimate, we would be going around patting ourselves on the back all the time. "Look what I did." It's by grace through faith that any of us are justified. We are justified not by works, but by God's grace. And then we're justified by Christ's blood. Romans 5:9. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Romans 3:25. "Whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Christ's blood gives us the ground of our acceptance before God. There was a Sunday school teacher that asked his class one day, "Is there anything God can't do?" And one little boy raised his hand and says, "I know something God can't do." He said, "My daddy told me God cannot see through Jesus' blood." God cannot see through Jesus' blood. I don't care how wretched your life has been. If your sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God cannot see your sins again. And I don't know how an all-wise, all-knowing God does this, but his word says it, and I believe it, that he buries our sins in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. It's by Christ's blood. It's not his incarnation. His incarnation is when Jesus came as a babe in a manger. This is important because Christ had to come in order to die for us. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Even though we as Gentiles are not under the law today, the law condemns. The law condemns our sins. And that was the purpose for the law. That was the purpose that God gave the law to Israel. It was to crowd them to Christ, to show them that it was impossible for them to keep the law. It was impossible for them to do good works and earn favor with God. Christ came and was made of a woman, was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It was not his incarnation that justified us, though. And it was not his life. Jesus Christ lived on this earth, and that's what a lot of people say. Well, he was a good man, or he was a prophet. But they will not say he is and was and always has been the Son of God. Perfect, sinless sacrifice for sin. But Jesus Christ had to come and live in order that he might die. It says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And it was not his resurrection that justifies us. Listen to Romans 4:25, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And I have quoted that verse many times in saying that his resurrection justified. His resurrection didn't justify us. And the wording that we have in the King James would give you that impression that that's what it's saying. "Who was delivered for our offenses." He died on the cross for our sins, for our offenses. "He was raised again," for here means on account of. He was raised again on account of our justification. The very fact that Jesus could be raised on the third day is because we had been justified. The justification was earned for us on the cross when Christ died. And so the resurrection is a testimony to the fact that God's justice had been served there on the cross when Christ died. It's not his resurrection. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us. Vine's dictionary discuss in Romans 4:25, the phrase "for our justification" is literally "because of our justification," parallel to the preaching clause "for our trespasses," because of trespasses committed, and means not with a view to our justification, but because all that was necessary on God's part for our justification had been effected in the death of Christ. On the account he was raised from the dead, the propitiation being perfect and complete, his resurrection was the confirmatory counterpart. It's the blood of Christ. His resurrection is a testimony to the fact that justification was completed on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," nothing else had to be done. It was all done there on Calvary. So, it's Christ's blood that justified us. We're justified. It's another one of our reasons that we're justified. We're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, Jehovah, that speaks of his deity. Jesus, Savior, that speaks of his dying in our place on the cross. We're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. As I said, we were prisoners on death row, and Jesus came and took our place in the prison. Then we're justified also by faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You see the definition? Assurance. Peace. We are assured. There's no question about it. There's nothing else we have to do. We're not worried about whether we're going to go to heaven or hell if we've been justified by the blood and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21, 22, and 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see the number of times believing, faith, is in those verses. We're justified by faith. You see, Jesus finished the work. There was nothing else that had to be done for our sins to be forgiven. But he had one requirement. You couldn't just automatically be saved. You're not just born into the world, and you're not going to go and somebody's going to sprinkle some water on your head, and you're automatically saved. You have to accept it by faith. And it's an individual thing. Nobody else can do it for you. Vance Havner talked about that people say, well, I was born in a Christian family, so I'm a Christian. He says, that means if you were born in a garage, that would make you an automobile. You have to accept by faith. Mom and daddy can't do it. Grandmother and granddaddy can't do it. Brother and sister can't do it. The finger points at you. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to accept by faith that Jesus died for you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Justification, the word of assurance. Would you look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 30 and verse 33 through 35. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. In all these things, it says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors because Jesus took God's justice that was aimed at us and bore it on the cross in order that we might stand justified before God. There's not a one of us that's going to stand before God one day and be able to say, look what I did. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It was all done on Calvary. You have to accept it. You have to believe it by faith. You can't see Jesus Christ. You didn't see Jesus Christ die. You have to accept what the Word of God says by faith in order to be saved. So, we're justified not by works, by the grace of God, by Christ's blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of God, and by faith. Justification, the word of assurance. If it depended on you, you couldn't have any assurance. You would have a hope so salvation, and you would go down to your grave, headed for an eternity in hell. Because if you do not have the assurance now, you're not going to get it after you die. It's now or never. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Justification, the word of assurance. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the scriptures that we can look at that speak to us about our justification, that we've been made justified by the grace, by the blood, by the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of God, and by our faith in His shed blood for us. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ was willing to take our place, was willing to leave the splendor of heaven and come into this sin-cursed world, this world that man calls to be cursed, and bore our sins on himself on the tree. Father, help each one of us to go from here determined to live a life of faith in you. If there's anyone here who does not know you as their Savior, Father, I pray that you would convict them by your Spirit right now, and they would experience this justification that every believer has. They would experience the peace that passes understanding. They would have the assurance that no one can ever take away. We just pray your blessings on each one here now as we go into the further activities of the day. We pray that the name of the Lord Jesus might be uplifted. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.